Welcome into the End the Money podcast for closing day of the Keeneland Fall Meet, Saturday, October 25th. Tom Leach, along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. As we take a look at the late pick four, and it includes two grade three stakes. There's another stakes, the Bowman Mill, for two-year-olds earlier on the card. It actually starts the late pick five, but we're looking at the late pick four, Jim, and it's going to be starting with an allowance optional claimer for three-year-old fillies. They'll go a mile and an eighth on the main track. Where did you go in this race?
Well, I thought there were three horses in here that were really, really hard to separate, and they're the three lowest choices on the morning line. I started with Parrish Lily for Brendan Walsh. This filly is dropping out of a grade three Monmouth Oaks at Monmouth at a mile and 16, stretching back out to a mile and an eighth. She almost won the Black Eyed Susan at Pimlico on a sloppy track. She caught a sloppy track at Keeneland in April as well, and so she's really good on an off track, but she's got enough positional speed. I think she's going to like a fast track just fine. Red Ortiz takes the mount from Paco Lopez, and Brendan Walsh is trying to win the training title. So a lot of things point to Parrish Lily in here. Yes, It Is for Brad Cox, who's also trying to win the training title. This horse, caught an off track at Churchill last time out, off the turf, and guess what? She won. So now they're bringing her back on the dirt, stretching her out to mile and an eighth. So shown steady buyer improvements. Just a really, really nice Tis the Law filly for Brad Cox. Only her fifth lifetime start, so room to improve there. And then Quick Kick coming out of the Kentucky Oaks and Acorn this year. Was overmatched in there, but came back and won the Iowa Oaks at Prairie Meadows and had a tune-up for this at Churchill after a little bit of a layoff. And she ran well at Keeneland and the Alcibiades as a two-year-old, finished second to Immersive. So I think those three will get you through the first leg. Parrish Lily is my lukewarm pick, but I wouldn't be shocked if Brad's filly jumps up and gets this one.
And that's who I took, Yes It Is, off the improvement in the first start on the main track and the pedigree to really like going nine furlongs here. But it's kind of, for me, a toss-up between that one and Parrish Lily, who's a little more battle-tested, been off since July, but with the Walsh barn, that's not a big concern. And if the nine furlongs off the layoff isn't too much, then her class probably will make the difference. So those two in a toss-up, Quick Kick would be my third one. Let's move on to race eight. It is the grade three Bryan Station. It will go on the turf, and they will go at the one-mile distance. And for that angle, I took Final Gambit. Now, Offspring of Not This Time have been excellent on this turf course this fall, and there are five of them in this race, including Final Gambit. And this horse ran well in the Derby, ran fourth and was closing, but hasn't really parlayed that into more success since moving over to the turf, which the pedigree is there to relish. And I've been running longer, and I talked to Brad Cox, and he's hoping that the cut back to a mile will produce a faster pace that will give this horse a better chance to get to the winner's circle with his late run. So I took that on the cutback. I took him on top, but Giocoso looked really good in winning the grade two at Colonial. Had some traffic issues in the stake run that followed down at Kentucky Downs, but I talked to Ben Curtis, who rides him, who's been riding him since May, and he said the horse is really doing well right now. Plensa, the 11, was the winner of that race at Kentucky Downs, so definitely want to have that one on the ticket. Salamis, Chad Brown, got his first win of the meet on Thursday, and this horse ran well here in the spring, finished third in a really good field. World Beater was second in there. And then Troubleshooting has won here and is in really good form for the Foley Barn and certainly has the pedigree to handle a stretch out from a one-turn sprint to 1 mile. That's not a huge ask. So I'm going to go five deep in here with Final Gambit on top, but it's not a real strong conviction. How about you?
I agree with your five, and I'll raise you one. I went 60. I'll tell you about my sixth one in a minute, but Giocoso would be my pick in here. Just really, really looked good, like you said, at Colonial, and I think would have won the Kentucky Downs race with a better trip. I used Plenza, I used Salamis for Chad Brown, I used Final Gambit for Brad Cox. And I used troubleshooting for Greg Foley. So I agree with you on all five of those horses. And I added a sixth one, and it's a long shot, Tenacious Leader for Todd Pletcher. This colt is not as battle-tested as some of these others, but they thought a lot of him in the fall last year as he comes out of the With Anticipation at Saratoga and put him right in the Breeders' Futurity, a grade one at Keeneland. Overmatched there against East Avenue and Ferocious. Really nice field last year for the Breeders' Futurity. Turned out to be predictive of some good three-year-olds. He didn't have a great trip there from the outside. Was off for a year, almost a year to the day, and came back at Keeneland on October 4th and ran well in an allowance race and won that tune-up for this one. I got to believe that Todd was pushing him for this, you know, prepping him for this race. Cuts back from a mile and a 16th, lightly raced, 12-1, and Johnny V gets the mount. So I think these other horses all look about the same. They all came out of either Kentucky Downs races or some good races at Aqueduct. This one's not as class-tested, but they paid $375 for him. He's had a lot of trouble getting back to the races, but he's back now, and I would expect him to run really big.
Moving on to the Grade 3 Haggard Fayette Stakes, and this is at a mile and an eighth for three-year-olds and up, and often it produces some horses that go on to do some nice things moving forward, either in the same year or in the next year. Remember, Blame won this race and then won the Breeders' Cup Classic the next year. Who do you have taking the top prize in the Fayette?
I am going to draw a line through Gosker's last race, the Pennsylvania Derby. He didn't show up. He stumbled at the break. He stuck on the outside. Baeza was on top of his game that day. I don't know that Gosker was going to beat Baeza anyway. But take the two races prior to that. The Preakness, he runs a half a length behind Journalism. The Haskell, he runs a half a length behind Journalism. What would Journalism be if he was in this race? 1-2.
Yep.
3-5. I just think Gosker, if you get anywhere close to 9-2 on Gosker, you need to go to the bank. Because I think Brendan wants to win the title here. He's got him back at Keeneland in his home barn. He's raced all the races, almost won the Preakness, almost won the Haskell, won the Lexington on this track last year, beat Bracket Buster. I don't see them beating Gosker in here. I did not single him because I think Dragoon Guard for Brad Cox is a very classy horse in absolutely outstanding form. If you look back, worst race he's run was in the Pennsylvania Derby last year when he got beat by 3 3/4. Three good races this year, including a blowout at Churchill last time out. So Dragoon Guard worries me a little bit, but there's no way that any horse in this race has two races like Gosker had against Journalism. So Gosker's my pick in here. Dragoon Guard is my safety pick. I threw out Bracket Buster, who's the other obvious one. I just think Gosker is the class of the race.
I'm right with you. That's who I took on top as well. I think I was really impressed with what he won, the way he won the Lexington, and just certainly didn't deserve to lose in the Preakness, but that was an incredible performance by Journalism. And one thing Brendan mentioned, in addition to the bad start in the Pennsylvania Derby, he said he's not sure the horse really liked the track either, and that is sometimes a hit-and-miss deal with horses up at parks. So Gosker, for me as well. I think a three-year-old's going to win this. Bracket Buster's my next one. They ran 1-2 in the Lexington. They could run 1-2 in here. Bracket Buster coming off back-to-back triple-digit buyers, so maybe he's starting to peak. And then the two Brad Coxes would be the other ones, Hit Show and Dragoon Guard. Hit Show won this race last year. But I think the three-year-olds, and Gosker in particular, are going to get the money in here. Last race is for two-year-old maidens going a mile and an eighth on the Keeneland turf course to close out the fall meet, and a nice wide-open affair to wrap up the late pick four and late pick five. And, Jim, where did you land in this spot?
Man, I landed on six different horses again. I'm going to have a big ticket here when we get through because I really couldn't eliminate very many of them at all. I'll just go in chronological order. Chambersville, the one horse from at peak, comes out of almost a maiden breaker at Aqueduct, just got beat by a nose. Obviously, stretching out to a mile and eighth is a question mark, as it is for all these horses. But Chambersville has got a shot. Wargamer, a first-timer for Brendan Walsh with a long series of works at Turfway Park, ought to be primed. You don't see many first-time starters try to break their maiden at a mile and an eighth. So, but you got to use them, Gaffleon and Walsh. Triton for Danny Gargan had a near miss at Saratoga this summer, got beat a half a length in a maiden special at a mile and 16th. Leverage, the 8-horse for Graham Motion, obvious include here, has three races that he really is disappointed in, but he's taking a lot of money each race, and they put blinkers on this time. Surfer's Joy, the other firster for Brendan Walsh, with Flavian Pratt taking them out, again, has worked a lot in company with Wargamer. And then Epic Horsepower, the 12 on the outside for Brian Lynch. And the key of this horse is that Full Effort beat this horse last time out at Kentucky Downs, and Full Effort came back yesterday and won for fun. So I think Epic Horsepower off that race really moves forward, because he finished third behind those Full Effort. And I think Petrol Squad 6, the horse that ran second, came back and won next time out. So it's a very key race. So I think if I didn't go six deep, I would almost single Epic Horsepower here based on how good Full Effort was yesterday.
You make an excellent point on that. I took him second. I took a long shot on top, and it's Happy Prince for Mark Cassie. His horse ran an improved race in the first time going around two turns on the turf, and the pedigree is there to relish even more distance here. Jose Ortiz taking the mount is encouraging to me. Addition of blinkers might have been what helped this one move forward. The speed figure is not good, so that'll help keep the price good. And I just thought the way this horse seemed to improve with two turns on the turf, if he continues to improve with more distance on the turf, then I think he's got a shot. But Epic Horsepower, definitely, I think, the one to beat. Leverage, you mentioned, has the pedigree for 9 furlongs, and it's Graham Motion shipping this one down, and he didn't do a lot of that, so he usually thinks that he's got one that's got a serious chance when he ships them into Keeneland. And then the others you mentioned, Wargamer and Surfer's Joy, the two firsters for Walsh, and then Chambersville. So I'm going six deep as well on my late pick four ticket. And it starts, I ended up having to go shorter in legs 1 and 3 to get everybody in I wanted to in the other two, to get a manageable ticket from a budget standpoint. So I left out Quick Kick and did 6-8 in the first leg, then 4-5-8-9-11-12. You talked me into Tenacious Leader. I think that's one I don't want to get beat by that one, so I put that one on the ticket too. I'm going to just go 3-10, the 2 3-year-olds in the Fayette, and then 1-4-5-8-11-12 in the last leg. So 2x6 by 2x6. And $72 ticket. How about you?
Well, I spent a little bit more because it's the last race of the fall meet. So you got to celebrate, spend a little more money, maybe catch a price in one of those two wide open races. So I went 1-6-8 with 4-5-8-9-11-12 with 9-10 with 1-4-6-8-11-12. And that's a $108 ticket. If I single Gosker, it'd be a $54 ticket. So that's where I would probably end up, but I want to go ahead and include, I do like the Cox horse for second in there, so I went ahead and included that one in my ticket.
Really fun card to close out what's been an outstanding fall meet. Maybe you'll get a carryover or two mixed in there for the final day, because there's some contentious races on the Friday card as well as we tape this. So lots of luck with your wagers for closing day at Keeneland. Need to build that bankroll up for Breeders' Cup the next weekend, and we'll be back for two rounds of the In the Money podcast. We'll look at the Friday Breeders' Cup races and then the Saturday Breeders' Cup races. So that'll be coming up in the coming week. So look for that. But for now, we'll just wish you good luck from the In the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com.